Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, where it's 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The Phillies have no luck. Let's do a quick review.
And very little skill.
Let's do a quick review. There's Sellers. Chase Utley, hurt. He had to help some team, hurt. Aaron Harang, he would have been perfect for somebody to pick up, hurt. Jonathan Papelbon, $13 million tender for next year. No. I mean, how bad is this? This is bad. Kevin thinks the entire franchise could turn around with the Ben Revere trade.
I didn't say that. I said that's one of many things that need to happen or that could happen. It's gonna take more than a trade, even if it is Cole Hamels, to fix what's wrong.
Cole Hamels is the one that can be dealt. But Harang, hurt. Utley, hurt. Papelbon, $13 million tender for next year. Nobody wants that. Okay. Ryan Howard, $25 million a year. Nope.
If you divide Ryan Howard's salary by the amount of hits, it would be a staggering number. What he's getting paid per hit.
Oh, yeah, but you can complain all you want about it, all right? But he did not hold them hostage. They gave him the money. You act as, there are times where you act as if he committed highway robbery, that he went in there with a shotgun, shut the door, and then they said, give it to me. And they're like, okay, if it'll allow us to be free, we'll do it. They sat down, agent, president, they negotiated. That's what they came up with. The Phillies agreed to it.
And listen, if he was actually producing, nobody would be complaining. But that's not happening.
He's not producing. Yeah, but when it comes to his contract, don't just look at him and yell at him. It's just as much the Phillies' fault.
I agree, and to a point I don't. I mean, yes, it is the Phillies' fault for signing that contract, but it's also Ryan Howard's fault for not performing better. I'm sorry, you're at a level of baseball now where what you're doing and how much you're getting paid to do it is unacceptable. Maybe you need to turn some money back in for lack of performance. If you were doing this in a regular job, okay, he would have been fired by now.
F-A-N.
100%, yes.
Okay, now let's get to common sense and reality.
Oh, brother. Who wants to live there?
Okay. Number one, they gave him the money. They agreed to it. Number two, after he signed the contract, part of this is luck. You roll the dice when you do something like this. They didn't count on him blowing out his Achilles and then hurting his knee.
A bad injury. No argument there. It was definitely a bad injury.
Okay. And the knee happened after the Achilles. Okay. But a man that size blowing out his Achilles, not great, right? And then on top of it, he then picked up a knee injury along the way, which caused him to miss, was it last year, which caused him to miss time?
I think it was the year before because he had like, year, yeah, I think 14, I think he was fine.
But that's the biggest problems. And then age starts creeping in. So you're not getting your money's worth, but luck plays a role in that. Are you getting your money's worth out of Chase Utley?
No.
You love, you know, the difference is you love Chase Utley. So when he has a good year and he's finally injury free, look at him. He's an all-star. He's great. We love him. Love him. Love him. No offense, but if you're going by the standard you just outlined on Ryan Howard, Chase Utley hasn't earned his money either.
But Ryan Howard had some seriously good years. I mean, you know what? 06 to okay. To okay. even 11. Chase I'm even Utley, willing to give him 11, and Chase, that wasn't a good year.
Chase Utley's making $15 million a year. Okay, tell me which years he's earned his money.
No, there was certainly at least 4 years in there.
Certainly earned his money in 8 and 9, and he earned his money last year. All the other years, did he earn his money?
Yeah, I think you got to look at 05, I think 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, I don't know how many years of that was under this contract. But if you look at his stats as a player.
Zero.
Well, all right. If you look at his stats, though, as a player, 11, most definitely.
12, no. 13, no. This year, no.
Now, and 11 was, he had a lot of hits in 11, but.
11, no. 13, 11, no. 12, no. 13, no.
13, 15, I think I'm no. giving him, I'd give him 13.
He played 100 games.
131.
Come on. That stinks. You are a two-faced double standard guy because he's your favorite guy. Where's the 40 home runs? Okay, where's his 40 home runs? Well, where's his 100 runs knocked in? Where is it?
I'd like
Where,
to know, has on. He left? Has he left a small country on base the way Ryan Howard
yes.
has?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's not even a small village anymore. It's an entire country all by itself.
Ryan Howard. Okay, Chase Utley doesn't leave guys on base because he's never at bat anymore to have guys on base.
That was good. I got to give you credit there.
Okay, you actually have to be in the game. Okay, you got to be in the game. Right, he's not in the game. He doesn't play. When he plays, he's marvelous. But that's the problem. It's when. Now, you know, there's two different things here. I mean, both got the. Here's the similarity. They both get hurt. They both get hurt. 2011, 103 games. 2010, 115 games. 2012, 83 games. This year, 65 games. Okay, excuse me, not wowed at the moment. Okay, 13, 131 games. Yeah, all right. Last year, like I said, last year he had a great year. I mean, he made the All-Star team, the whole thing. Second half, he tailed off. Okay, but when they were winning, he was unbelievable.
He has a lot of total bases, too.
That's because he, okay, unlike your other hero, Ben Revere, he actually has extra base hits.
Not my hero.
You'd spend an entire segment defending him.
No, I didn't. I said that the Pirates are looking at him, and I can understand why. He's a decent leadoff hitter. I want my leadoff hitter on base. Hey,
Just slow down. Slow down.
By the way, until he went on the DL, which I guess happened today, officially, or that they placed him on a 15-day again, he was actually getting interest from the Dodgers and the Marlins.
Who? Revere?
No, Chase Utley.
Chase Utley.
Well, yeah. The Phillies had suitors for Chase Utley prior to this afternoon's injury report, which placed him on the 15-day DL with right ankle inflammation, which dates back to June.
Yeah. Chase Utley, by the way, so far in his career, has made $115,573,570. in 2007, he finally got kicked up the ladder, $4.7 million. In 2008, when they won the World Series, and you know me, I think he's a marvelous postseason player. I think the bigger the stage, the better Chase Utley plays. $7,785,000. In 2009, where he had an even better World Series, $11,285,000. He has made $15 million or better since 2010, and there's a vesting option where he would get $15 million if he has 500 plate appearances next this season. He won't get there. He has to have 500 plate appearances in 2016 for him to get $15 million in 17. He has to have 500 plate appearances in 17 to get $15 million in 18. That's his contract. At that point, he'll be 100.
Ryan Howard has made $155 million mm-hmm. since 04. Chase Utley,
yes, but see,
$115 million since 03.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Chase Utley signed something for your kid, and Ryan Howard blew your kid off, right? And because of that, the standard doesn't the same. Chase Utley gets hurt and is not productive, it's okay. Ryan Howard gets hurt, is not productive, it's the worst thing ever. Because one signed your kid's cap and the other guy blew it off.
Here's the best, though, Sabermetrics number.
But hold on.
For Chase Utley.
Wait, no, hold on. Okay? I just bottom-lined it for everybody, and you tell me I'm wrong.
Well, no, that actually happened. Yeah, I mean, what you're saying happened. Okay. Does that have any impact?
Does
no.
Does that taint your opinion about Chase Utley?
Absolutely
yes,
not.
Yes, it does.
Listen,
Chase Utley can do almost no wrong in your eyes.
That happened back in like 03, 04, somewhere in that range. Maybe even earlier than that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I have supported Ryan Howard right up until the time, even when he struck out 872 times, and when he struck out 200 times in 07. I still had Ryan Howard's back. And then maybe it was the injury, maybe it was more to it than that, but I mean, 279, 276, 253, 219. It's like playing the clock game backwards with mm-hmm. his average.
All right. Chase Utley has played 11 full seasons in the majors. Of the 11 full seasons he has played in the majors, he has played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 full seasons out of 11. I do not count his first 2 years. Okay? To be fair, I don't count his first 2 years where he played 43 games and 94 games. He was 24 and 25 at the time. So I take his last 11 years. Okay? He's played 6 full seasons and 5 seasons that are not. But because he signed your kid's cap and Ryan Howard didn't, you don't hold him to the same standard.
And since 2010, he has out-homered Ryan Howard in all but 2 years.
Yeah, but Ryan Howard's been hurt. Okay?
Well, so is Chase Utley.
They're both always hurt. You get nothing. Look, Chase Utley's done, you know, the two of them have done nothing. The right side of the infield has not done what they're being paid to do. That's $40 million on the right side of your infield, giving you $40 worth of production.
That's very true.
Okay.
All right. I'm just looking at 2017. Ruben Amaro says it'll be better by then.
Here's the bottom line. Okay, no luck. Utley hurt, can't trade him. Harang hurt, can't trade him. Hamels has a long-term contract, which makes Cueto and Price maybe more desirable to some teams. Papelbon, $13 million vesting option for next year. Teams have backed off. I think we've just summed it up in a nutshell.
I'm going to start rooting for the Orioles. Something to look forward to in the postseason.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, no, I'm saved. because training camp starts in just a couple of days, so it's football season. I'm good to go.
Is your running back suspended for the first two games?
Okay, so he didn't realize that he wasn't in Colorado when he was driving with a joint, okay? Yes, he's out a few games.
Just checking.
Really? This isn't legal in Pennsylvania? I didn't know that. But he runs the football really well.
The best all-around running back in the NFL.
Just have somebody else drive him next time. Hire a driver for him. Use Uber, something else.
He's the best all-around running back in the NFL. I mean, running the football, precise routes out of the backfield, picking up the blitz. He's really, really good. Okay. We're going to talk about metrics. Some really good stuff in metrics. Is there anything else on your topic list here? Wait a minute.
No, I think you've hit them all.
Check and see. Let's see. ACC vote. Yeah. How good was Nola? NFL training camps start soon. Which teams made the best moves? Repeating once again, I can already tell you that it's already done. New England, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Denver will win their divisions. Everything else. Okay.
That's great. I'm very excited about that prediction.
Oh, I know. You should be. I mean, you know, and then when they lose in the first round, then the show really gets good when you start whining. It's great stuff.
All I want to know is who's going to be the quarterback of the Patriots in week one.
Tom Brady. He's going to sue if he's suspended.
Let me throw this at you. Roger Goodell right now, if he does absolutely nothing and takes back this penalty and says you're not going to sit down any for whatever reason, does Roger Goodell look soft?
He's caught between a rock and a hard place, but here's the problem.
And he doesn't want to look soft.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Right, you need, take Pete Rose, hard evidence. Okay. Ray Rice, hard evidence. Paul Hornung, Alex Karras, hard evidence. Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald. Okay, where's the hard evidence on Tom Brady? Now, we may think, let's face it.
Lots of circumstantial.
Let's get Bob Buhner here. You can't convict somebody on circumstantial evidence.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying there's a lot of circumstantial.
You can't do that. If we were to poll the audience, my guess is 80 to 90% of those who are listening would say they think Brady did something. But there's a major difference between thinking someone did something, believing someone did something, and proving someone did something. And in this case, where's the proof he did something? There's plenty of insinuation. Where's the proof that he did something? Again, we all may think it. All of us may believe it. But you've got to be able to prove it. Let's take a radical example here. Here's a radical example. Al Capone in Chicago terrorized that city as they divided the city up into wards and so forth way back when. But they could never get him on anything. They finally got him on tax evasion. That's how Al Capone went to prison on tax evasion, not for the number of people killed in Chicago, because they couldn't get the evidence or the people to testify against him to do that. They finally got the hard evidence to take to a court of law and convict him of that. And that's an extreme example, but it's an example of everyone thinks he did, everyone believes he did, but they could never either get witnesses or the proof that he did it. What they could get evidence and proof on for him was on tax evasion, which is what they eventually convicted him of and eventually put him in prison. He eventually went to Alcatraz. That's an extreme example. Now let's bring it back to
a quarterback and deflated footballs. We may think, we may really believe it, but you got to be able to prove it to suspend him. And you can't have his suspension be longer than Ray Rice's two games. And I'm talking about Ray Rice's original suspension. You can't.
But Steve,
it makes no sense. He'll be the starting quarterback on opening night. He's going to sue. He'll get a court injunction. He will be the quarterback on opening night.
Here's the question, though, that I think no one is asking. If, and I agree with you, by the way, in everything you're saying, because it is absolutely right, makes complete sense. Knowing that, why would you have given him the if you're Roger Goodell, why would you have given him the suspension you did, knowing that he's going to fight it? Of course he's going to fight it. This just makes you look soft now when you have to take it back. And he doesn't like looking soft.
Well, he certainly did with Ray Rice.
And look at how much it killed him to stand in front of the press and say that. I mean, did that look like a guy that was that wanted to be there? No.
I don't think they thought Brady would fight it the way he's fought it.
See, to me, that's naive. I would think anybody, Tom Brady especially, that's a character thing for him now.
I think they thought he would appeal it, that they would reduce the sentence, he'd still be suspended, and then that would be it. Because, you know, you notice Robert Kraft backed off and said, look, okay, we'll take the draft choice thing, I'll pay the fine. All right? I think there's been an assumption that Brady would act the same way. I appealed it. I gave my best shot. They're going to roll it back. I'll take the two games, whatever it is, three games, whatever it's going to be, and we'll just move on. Okay? There's an assumption of that. Here's the problem. Okay? He hired Jeffrey Kessler as his attorney. Right? That was red flag number one, which I pointed out the day he hired him. And number two, Brady himself is now said to be furious with this whole process. They have dragged it out, Kevin, so much, okay, to the point it has gone from the sublime to the ridiculous.
But see, he's fighting, I think, an image thing, that if he ends up taking whatever punishment they offer him, even if it's reduced, then there's an implied guilt.
I agree with that.
And I think he doesn't want to tarnish that image, and I don't blame him.
I agree with that. But Robert Kraft, you notice on his end, backed off. And most players do back off in the end. Brady has resources that almost any player in the league doesn't have. He's not even the number one breadwinner in his house.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay, and he makes a lot of money. Okay, Brady. I think Brady looks at this. And I think he finds it to be so ridiculous. He may have asked the equipment guys, hey, look, get him as low as you can. Well, what does that mean? What does as low as you can mean? Because the league does not have a standard on the football that says the football must be 12.5 pounds per square inch. They have a range. And because they have a range, if I tell you get it as low as you can, what are you going to do? You'll get it down to the... It's assumed that you'll take it to the lowest level.
Still legal.
That's still legal. And remember, here's the other problem. And if you read the Wells report, two gauges were used at halftime, two of them. One of them showed them below. The other one showed it was in specs.
100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry.
We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Get
It's the Summer of Nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing. Zero security deposit. Zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia, on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tag theft, leasing, and low APR financing through KMS and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The court system is actually the bailout for Roger Goodell. He can sit there and he can reduce the suspension to 2 games, 3 games, whatever. That shows, quote, fairness on his part. And then Brady takes it to court and uses a court injunction to keep playing, and Goodell doesn't look soft. He looks fair-minded and says, look, my hands are tied. It's in the courts. Pretty simple. So in terms of how soft he is, courts would be his bailout, because if Brady's going to go to court, and he would get an injunction to keep playing. He beat your team on opening night, you'll whine, moan, and complain, and life goes on.
Oh, I'll whine, moan, and complain, no matter that Brady's there or not. let's be honest about it.
I think Tom Brady will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots on opening night, whether it's by NFL doing or by court action, he will be. And NBC will eat up every second of it. They'll love it. They'll love it. David Jones wrote an article today on field position, Penn State's defense, and an analytic. You know, and more analytics are useful in so many ways. Doesn't quite replace everything. I mean, they help explain certain things. And David wrote a thoughtful argument, you know, about Bill James' abstract, Moneyball, Ken Pomeroy. I mean, a lot of us for basketball would go to KenPom.com on basketball analytics. They help explain certain things to you. And he goes, David goes to Dave Bartu's college football site, which is CFBmatrix.com. CFBmatrix.com. That's collegefootballmatrix.com. And some stats you use to confirm what you see or what you think. And as I've told my class often in preparation, you prepare everything along the way. Kevin knows how detailed my preparation is. He's seen my charts. And I always tell them, look, you probably use 1% to 2% on that chart every game. 1% to 2% of everything you've done. But the reason all of it's there is that the 1% to 2% changes every game based on situation. And something I used midseason last year and asked James Franklin about in the pregame show and asked him about it specifically on the talk show would be field position, because Penn State, I felt, was getting crushed on field position. And last year, Clemson in the graphic was number one in the nation as to where a drive ended. Clemson drives against Clemson ended at their, on the average, at their own 47-yard line. All right? And that's tremendous. Ohio State, for example, was number two with drives ending at the at the 48.8, so just beyond midfield. But Ohio State was also number one in the country where drives started. The average drive start against Ohio State this year was at their own 26-yard line. Number one. Average drive start against Clemson was the 29.5. Average drive start against TCU was the 27-yard line. Ole Miss, right, was just behind Ohio State at the 26. Memphis was the 28-yard line. Utah State was sixth in this metric with the drive start at the 29, but ending at the 47 on the other side of the field. Penn State, try this one out for size. Penn State was seventh in the nation where the drive ended. Okay, seventh in the nation where the drive ended. 46.96. Penn State was 120th in the nation of where the drive started. The average drive start against Penn State was the 33.5-yard line. That was 120th in the country. So then I went through and took that metric and I went back to my metrics. And that's the pure field position in wins and losses. And I keep this all the time. And this is the value of, and there's a lot of things that come into play here. You know, can the offense get an additional first down? And then the big one, what can your punting game do to help you? Penn State, when they won games last year, had an average drive start of the 32-yard line. The opposition in those same seven games had an average drive start of the 29-yard line. There were 92 possessions each in the wins. So that meant in those games, those seven games, Penn State had 276 hidden yards in drive start. And in those seven wins that the Nittany Lions had, that's an average of nearly 40 yards per game. 39.4 to be exact. Per game. 39.4 hidden yards per game that were in Penn State's favor. Kevin sent me an interesting memo on the Pan Am Games medal count. It won't make the air. Okay. Do you really want me to read that on the air? Okay.
It was your call. It was just an update.
That's nice. Okay. So 39.4 yards per game hidden yards. Okay. That's in wins. Now let's get to losses. Penn State's average drive start in a loss was the 28-yard line. 4 yards further behind where they were when they won. Okay. In the six losses, you know what the average drive start for the opposition was? The 37-yard line. Okay. That's minus 9 yards per possession. There were 84 possessions That's 756 yards in six losses. And when you divide that by six losses, the hidden yards in games that they lost was 126 yards a game. 126 yards per game. Penn State was on the field. There's a metric that tells you. Penn State was on the field this year defensively for 28 drives. I'm sorry, my apologies. 23 drives defensively in the fourth quarter when the game was 8 points or less. That was number one in the country. The next most that a defense was on the field in games 8 points or less in the fourth quarter was 14. You know how many times Michigan State was on the field in the fourth quarter in a game decided by 8 points or less defensively? How many drives? Three. But in losses, Penn State was down an average of 126 yards per game in field position. That's per game. That's not for the season. In the six loss, it's 126 yards a game. And most games have an average of about 12 possessions per game. That's about the average that you see. That's 10. That's 10 and a half yards per. Obviously, you're seeing in recruiting now where they recruited a punter, recruited a place kicker. They've had so many gaps they've had to fill in just trying to come back from this unjustified sanction that they've had to go at it with people who were not scholarship punter or scholarship kicker. I mean, Ficken was a scholarship kicker, obviously. This year they'll have neither. And it makes a difference. And also you have to get more out of your punt return game, too. Jesse Della Valle had good judgment, fielding punts. He caught it, didn't fumble it, got whatever he could out of it. But I think they'll have more athleticism and a more dynamic return game this year, which is going to help them. Punting the ball, they're going to have to be better. Coming up, okay, everybody hang with us. We got a big one coming up here on the show. The Pan Am Games medal count. Let's do just a quick survey. How many of you knew the Pan Am Games were going on?
How high can I raise my hand?
Amazingly, everyone still has two hands on the steering wheel. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, let's do baseball scores instead. The USA has 185 medals, 70 gold, 60 silver, 55 bronze. Canada, 61 gold, 55 silver, 49 bronze, 165. Brazil, 32, 46, 110. Colombia, 25, 8, 26, 59. Trinidad and Tobago, none. All right.
By the way, we're 380 days from the Summer Games, 931 from Pyongyang in 2018 for the Winter Games.
Okay. Padres lead the Giants 1-0 top of the fourth. Dodgers beat Atlanta 3-1. Washington beat the Mets 4-3. Baltimore and the Yankees coming up tonight. Pirates and Kansas City tonight. St. Louis and the White Sox tonight. Toronto and Oakland coming up tonight. So that'll get you up to date on what's going on there. Red Sox and Houston coming up tonight as well in the majors. Cincinnati beat the Cubs 9-1. Phillies beat Tampa Bay in 10, 5-4.
Came
from
behind. Break
them up. Yeah, amazing. And
five of the last six?
Five of six since the All-Star game. Your guy Ben Revere went 3-for-5 today. Let's see, anybody else? Dominic Brown went 3-for-5.
Howard left a small village on base again.
And let's Let's see. Freddie Galvis drove in his 10th run of the year. Cody Ashe, his 11th double of the year. Morgan went 4 1/3, gone. DeFreitas, 1 2/3, pitched well. Diekman, inning, gave up a run. Giles, good inning.
And Howard got left 2 out of 5 on base, Stephen? 5? Freddie Galvis left 8 on base?
Okay, let's understand something. They're at the bottom of the standings. Nobody cares. Okay? It doesn't matter if he leaves 1,000 guys on base. It doesn't affect the race.
I said it last hour, and I'll say it again. That's not a small village. That's some countries that the Phillies left on base tonight. 20.
This was actually a walk-off, by the way. Herrera singled the left, knocked in Brown in the 10th inning. They won 5-4. They had 22,000 today, 51% full.
That's really good for a matinee game and for a team that's the worst team in baseball. That's
really, really good in a market of 5 million people. All right.
I qualified it a little more, but I understand what you're saying. Were the tickets free, or did you have to pay for them?
Chip and the Eagles are about to start.
See, I'd go to a Philly game right now if it were free.
Thought you were a free agent.
That's what I'm saying. It'd have to be free.
Well.
Football starting soon. Pocono's got a NASCAR race and an IndyCar race. It's going to be a good month.
I just wanted to point out to the audience that I only did the Pan Am Games update to appease Kevin. Jack Ham's on Friday's show. On August 10th, when I return, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, will join us on the show. Kevin's most depressing segment, where the fantasy ends and the reality that it's a business begins. Everything you believed as a youth, blown up because of money. Kevin hates that segment.